Welcome to the free version of Sunday night's main event. If you like what you hear, there's plenty more where this came from. Join us at patreon.com/snmeradio and get a commercial-free extended version of this show each and every week, plus numerous other weekly podcasts for only $1 a week. Sign up now at patreon.com/snmeradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Let the week of WrestleMania begin. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event. We are Canada's wrestling radio program, powered by Great Lakes Brewery and broadcasting across the country on TSN Radio and all over the world on the iHeartRadio Talk Network. My name is Jason Agnew, and on March 31st, 1985, Madison Square Garden was home to the very first WrestleMania. Fast forward 36 years, and the event has grown from a night to a weekend, to a week-long set of festivities designed to get you out of your COVID coma and into the pandemic pandemonium of the squared circle. Well, we're here to cover it all for you tonight and all week long on our website at sundaynightsmainevent.com. On tonight's show, Dave Meltzer joins us to take a look at the new main event of WrestleMania night, and that is Chris Jericho being featured on Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast on the WWE Network on Peacock. Never say never strikes again, friends. Then the young guns of our NXT Talk podcast, Boris and Matthew, will join me to preview both of this week's NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver events. And we've also got the semifinals of the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament, so get ready to play Name That Wrestling Theme. All of that is to come, but first, let's kick things off with the week in wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
As mentioned in the intro, the most surprising news of the week, and perhaps the year, is Chris Jericho being a guest on Steve Austin's Broken Skull Sessions on Peacock that will air after WrestleMania next Sunday. The basic story here is that Austin and Jericho were talking, and Austin brought up the idea of Jericho doing the show. Austin went to clear it with Vince McMahon, who said it was fine. Jericho went to clear it with Tony Khan, who also said it was fine. So this is already on tape, it's already happened, and it's going to be a very interesting dynamic to watch because I believe it'll be the first time that WWE will have to publicly acknowledge AEW on their television, or at least on their media in this case. Very curious to see how this all goes. So, the Austin Jericho thing is like the cherry on top of the sundae of WrestleMania, which will literally be next Sunday. Speaking of Mania and Peacock, there was some confusion earlier this week about how Canadian and all international viewers would be able to watch WrestleMania. Now, this panic, I guess I could call it, all came about due to Rogers, Bell, and Shaw here in Canada not updating their interactive guide properly. Well, fear not, true believers. Bob Kapoor of Slam Wrestling confirmed yesterday that WrestleMania will be available on the Canadian and international version of the WWE Network. In an exchange with Slam Wrestling, a representative from WWE confirmed that all of next week's events, that's both nights of NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver, the 2020/2021 Hall of Fame specials, and both nights of WrestleMania will be airing in Canada over the WWE Network. So with that in mind, here is your WrestleMania week rundown. We've got the regular Raw show on Monday night. Then Tuesday at 8 p.m., we've got the Hall of Fame on the WWE Network. Wednesday is TakeOver Stand and Deliver night number one. That's at 8 p.m. plus a one-hour pre-show. Now, this show will be simulcast on the USA Network and Peacock, and the Peacock version has been announced to be commercial-free. So it's probably going to feel like watching Dynamite on Fight, where the announcers break for commercial, but if you're watching on Fight, it just continues on. Thursday, it's NXT UK Prelude at 4 p.m. Eastern. Then we have night two of NXT Stand and Deliver at 8 p.m., but we've also got that one-hour pre-show. Friday, that's the regular SmackDown show on Fox, and it's already taped, and they have stacked this show with things that would normally be on WrestleMania, including the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal and the Fatal 4-Way Tag Team match for the SmackDown tag titles, which means I'm going to bet the Mysterios get their win, but they don't get their WrestleMania moment. Missed opportunity on this one, but that's just me. Hey, Saturday is WrestleMania Night 1. That starts at 8 p.m., plus you get a one-hour pre-show. Sunday is WrestleMania Night Number 2, starting at 8 p.m. once again, one-hour pre-show. And yes, after that, the Jericho and Austin interview will be taking place. Now, taking into account all of these nights, this week has a minimum of 22 hours of professional wrestling. You want to add in AEW? You can actually spend one full day, 24 hours in 1 week, sitting in front of your television or whatever device you watch on and watching pro wrestling. This, friends, is the pinnacle of more is more. Now, for those of you that are picking and choosing what you're going to watch, here are the lineups for both of your main WrestleMania nights. So Saturday, we got Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair. Sasha's your champion. That is for the WWE SmackDown's Women's Championship. And keep in mind, there is talk of that being the main event of night number one. Lashley with MVP taking on Drew McIntyre. That is for the WWE Championship. We've got the singles match, which was originally supposed to be a tag, so it's Bad Bunny with Damian Priest at his side versus The Miz with John Morrison. A tag team match for the WWE Raw Tag Team Championship. That one makes the card due to the debut of Omos, who is paired with AJ Styles taking on The New Day. That is Kingston and Xavier Woods. The steel cage match and Dan Lavransky's number one match of the night, guaranteed, Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon. And we also have the swing match, Cesaro versus Seth Rollins. That is night number one. All right, so moving on to night number two. And do keep in mind, Lavransky and I are going to be live after each one of these for patrons. Sign up, patreon.com/SNME Radio. We do a live show following both of these guys. So here is night number two. Roman Reigns with Paul Heyman versus Edge and Daniel Bryan. That's not a handicap. That is a triple threat match for the WWE Universal Championship. Asuka, who's your champion on the Raw side of things, taking on Rhea Ripley, who recently debuted. The Fiend with Alexa Bliss taking on Randy Orton. Straight singles match. Not cinematic that we know of right now. Just a singles match. You want to talk gimmicks, though? Well, the gimmick of the night has gone to Big E and Apollo Crews. It's for the International Championship, but friends, it is a Nigerian drum fight. What that is, I don't know. Singles match, we've got Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. That has the Logan Paul involvement on the Sami Zayn side of things. And we also have your champion, Matt Riddle. Yes, the WWE United States Championship on the line in a singles match versus Sheamus. Will they recreate that 15-second thing they did with Daniel Bryan? Yet maybe have this one go the other way? I wouldn't be surprised. All right, couple of items here for some non-WrestleMania news as a follow-up to last week's story about Road Dogg. That's Brian James and his heart issues. He tweeted about leaving hospital early this past week and thanked everyone for their tweets, support, thoughts, and prayers. So hopefully he is on the road to recovery. In our final look at the Wednesday Night War, AEW Dynamite featured the long-awaited Arcade Anarchy match as well as Christian Cage's first match in the promotion. They had 700,000 viewers, which is a decline by 7.5% from last week. And on the final Wednesday episode of NXT, that show is up to 654,000. Now expect both of these numbers to rise next week because NXT is moving to Tuesday. Speaking of NXT, Taya Valkyrie's NXT debut looks to be happening on April 13th. So that's a week from Tuesday. On this past week's NXT, we saw a series of videos featuring a Pomeranian dog that belongs to Valkyrie and John Morrison. The vignettes mentioned the name Frankie, And last month, WWE filed the trademark for Frankie Monet. So I guess that's her? I don't know. I do know who it is not, and that is one Dalton Castle. You see, ROH announced they have signed Dalton Castle to a new contract. So he is continuing on with the promotion, and that means the end of my dream of the Peacock debuting on Peacock. Missed opportunity, friends. Missed opportunity. All right, here is a few notes from the world of MMA, although it's not officially announced by UFC yet. Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier both tweeted that they have agreed to a trilogy fight in the main event of UFC 264 on Saturday, July 10th. Nate Diaz is returning to fight at May's UFC 262. The Lil Diaz will face Leon Edwards in the organization's first ever five-round non-title co-main event fight. This will be the 35-year-old's first fight since losing to Masvidal for the ceremonial BMF belt at UFC 244 in November of 2019. That was very silly. Mike Goldberg is no longer announcing for Bellator. Scott Coker confirmed that he's no longer going to be announcing with the move to Showtime. You see, Mauro Ranallo has been the voice of Showtime Boxing and MMA and is very highly regarded at the station, so he will take over play-by-play duties. I feel bad for Mike Goldberg. I like his call. To me, that is the voice of the peak period of UFC. Despite all of his cliches, I still enjoyed him. Before we take a break, I just wanted to run down how we at Sunday Night's Main Event will be covering all of the crazy WrestleMania action for you. So if you're listening on the free podcast feed right now or on terrestrial radio anywhere on the iHeartRadio or TSN Radio Talk Network, listen up and join us on the interweb to get all the coverage, because here is what we got for you. Tuesday morning, Mark Andrade and I will be reviewing the Go Home Raw on a podcast called the Midweek Markout that we do every week for patrons. And then it gets really interesting. Tuesday night at 6 p.m., you're probably going to want to circle this on your calendar. We're going to have a WrestleMania Week preview podcast that's going to feature Dan Lavransky, myself, and be co-hosted by a couple of very special guests. Let's see. How do I describe this? If you think Jericho and Austin is notable, well, we might as well start this podcast with an Eagles song. That show will be available on our public feed and our Patreon feed. Wednesday and Thursday night, Boris and Matthew, the Young Guns, will cover the NXT takeovers with NXT Talk podcast. That's for patrons only. And we'll also have All Elite Weekly with Joe and Mouth. Then a special show on Friday, and this one is very cool. A celebrity WrestleMania roundtable featuring Andrew Fung from Kim's Convenience, K. Trevor Wilson from Letterkenny, and Carlos Bustamante, formerly of YTV and now of ET Canada. I'll be moderating this very fun chat, and these wrestling-loving performers are going to talk about all they love in the world of professional wrestling, and we'll talk about what we're excited about for WrestleMania. So once again, Andrew Fung, K. Trevor Wilson, Carlos Bustamante, and myself, that is happening on Friday. Then we get into the weekend. Saturday, Lavransky and I will be doing a WrestleMania Night 1 video after party, and Sunday, we'll be doing the exact same thing following WrestleMania Night 2. Now, both of those are for patrons only. And then the audio podcast is put up. But if you want to watch and you want to get interactive with us, these are very fun. This is the new way that we do our pay-per-view after shows. They're after parties and they are on Zoom. But in order to get the link and to join us, you have got to sign up. Do so now. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. We're going to try to make sense of what you watch all week long. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. It is only $1 a week. A break, and then we're back. Dave Meltzer is next, right here on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
Octo is an angry octopus. Usually he's quite surly.
What did you say to me?
But when he gets mad...
You ain't so smart, is you?
He becomes angry.
Go home and brush your sister's hair.
It's been said that his sour attitude is due to a slight disagreement with the Great Lakes Brewers.
Those guys better have eyes in the back of their head.
They said they would use 8 ingredients and Octo's beer would be 8%.
But it ain't!
Octo likes the number 8.
What's not to like about it?
The Brewers apologized for the 8, but that made Octo more irate.
Hey, you wanna go me?
Nevertheless, there's still something likable about Octo.
Your hat looks like a toilet.
Well, sort of.
Sit down!
Octopus wants to fight by Great Lakes Brewery.
That's right!
It's time for everyone's favorite game show!
All I do is win, 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 no matter what!
Go one-on-one and get it done! Sunday night's main event presents...
Everybody hands go up!
Turnbuckle Trivia!
And they stay there! And they say yeah! And they say there!
It is a semifinal in the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament for the 2021 championship. I'm always very excited about this round. Longtime listeners will know at some point in Turnbuckle Trivia, I do a Name That Tune round. And in this case, with wrestling fans, it is Name That Theme. And we have our two players on the line to get into this round. First of all, he is... one of our top seeds, Paul, is on the line from Waterdown. Paul, how you feeling about Name That Theme? You haven't played this before.
I'm a little nervous, but this is the furthest I've made it, so I'm playing with house money.
All right, a good way to look at it. Now, on the other side of things, though, Jay, formerly of North Bay, Jay, you played last year. You did awesome, but this was the end for you last year. How you feeling about going back into it again?
Jay from North Bay is going all the way. Take it to the bank, baby.
Look at that. Look at that confidence right there. All right, Paul versus Jay. Here we go. Now, the way this works is you're each going to have 5 different clues. And clue number 1 will be 5 seconds of a song. It'll be directed to one of you. If you get it right, you get 2 points. If you do not get it right, it goes to your opponent, and your opponent can steal it away and secure 1 point. Your first clues are 5 seconds, second clues are 4 seconds, third clues 3, etc., etc. That is how we're going to break it on down. At the end of it, I'll tally it up, see who gets the most points, and that person will be going on to play in the 2021 championship. Paul, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Jay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
First question, or theme in this case, goes to Paul. You get 5 seconds of it. I will play it for you. Twice. Do you need to hear it again?
Yeah, one more time, please.
Here we go. Paul, name that theme. And I will mention, themes can be from any era, from any organization. I forgot to declare that. But name that theme, Paul.
Oh, I'm... not sure. I'm going to go with Charlie Haas.
Charlie Haas is your guess. That guess is incorrect. So, Jay, can you name that theme?
It sounds very WCW, but I can't place it. I'm going to just take a stab and say, like, Tank Abbott.
It is not Tank Abbott. Tank Abbott would have come out to 3 count, I think. But actually, it's not WCW. It is a current WWE theme for Peyton Royce.
What?
That is Peyton Royce's new theme. Well done getting away from the Iconics theme for that thing. All right, we move
on.
Terrible. It is. Jay, here is your first theme. Do you need to hear it again?
No, that's Jacqueline.
You got it. Jay from North Bay scores 2 points with Jacqueline. Absolutely correct. All right, we go back now to you, Paul, for your second clue, and here it is. Here, I'll play it again, Paul.
Okay.
All right, Paul, what is your guess?
Is it The Godfather?
It is not The Godfather. Jay, can you steal that?
Is it Ivory?
That is Ivory's theme for the steal and a point. Congratulations. It was indeed Ivory's theme. I will say, guys, I even all of this up, new, old, all of them get very even as we go along, just in different orders. So here we go. Now, Jay, this one is for you. Your second one. It's 4 seconds long. Here we go. Okay. Do you need it again?
No, that's Lex Luger.
Oh, my goodness. That is absolutely correct. Lex Luger from WCW. He's not even giving you the chance to steal, Paul. Here we go.
I want it. I want it this year.
Yeah, you are playing for keeps. You're playing for keepsies, not funsies. Paul, your third one. 3 seconds of this one. I'll do it again. Okay, Paul.
No idea. I'll say A-Train.
It is not A-Train. Jay, can you steal?
Is it Hogan's WCW theme?
It is not. It is WCW, though. That is the Steiner Brothers theme, is what that is. The Steiner Brothers. No points awarded there. We go to a 3-second clip, and we take this one. This is for you, Jay. Here we go.
American Alpha.
That
or
is
Chad Gable.
American Alpha is the correct answer. Very good. Yes. And that's 2 points, Jay. Very good. American Alpha. All right, we move on to number 4. Paul, let's get on the board with only 2 seconds of this.
Oh.
And again.
You have no idea. No, it's not there.
All right, Jay, for the steal.
It's someone pretty current, but I can't place it.
That is the theme of Ciampa and Gargano, DIY. 2 seconds of DIY there. All right, here we go. Let's continue on. We're on number 4, and 2 seconds of this song is for Jay. Again.
Humberto Carrillo.
You got it. Jobber extraordinaire Humberto. It
Jobber
hurts.
To the stars.
It hurts when he doesn't give you the chance. All right, here we go. I'm going to play down to the wire here, Paul, no matter what the outcome, to give you this chance. Here we go, Paul. For 1 second of this theme, 2 points on the line.
Oh.
Again.
No idea.
Jay, can you steal that one too?
That's the Nasty Boys.
It's the Nasty Boys. You got it. Paul, he's a monster. I'm not going to have him play his final theme, but I bet he'd get it. Congratulations, Jay North Bay. You are going all the way to our final. We'll see who your competitor is going to be. But congratulations. You have already righted the wrongs of what happened to you last year.
Yeah, it feels right.
Good stuff.
It feels right.
Paul, you played a great game. You had a great tournament in the showing. We'll have you back, and I hope to see you back here next year. Maybe there's a rematch, and maybe you beat Jay.
Thanks, Jason, and great job, Jay. Great game.
Thanks, Paul. Good game, buddy.
We've got to take a break. When we come back, Dave Meltzer joins us, and we take an in-depth look at a crazy week to come in the world of pro wrestling. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event.
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Front Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Let's take a deeper dive into the news of the week. Joining us now, Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Dave, Are you ready for what has gone from a week to a weekend to a week of WrestleMania?
Yeah, I know. It's like it's going to be a really busy week. But, you know, in some ways it's not as busy as some weeks because the weeks that, like, you know, like even 2 years ago when I would travel for the show and
right.
go to all these independents, there's really not a lot of big independents. But, yeah, WWE, it's the whole week of WWE from from Tuesday until the next Tuesday. It's or really from Monday, so it's really like 9 days.
You know, Dave, one thing that I found WWE has done is they keep building. And it's like once they do something, they then do not pull back on it. And this year is an indication of that. Do you foresee from here on through WrestleMania is flat out two nights?
I think it's the best for it. But right now the plan is no, because they're running the big stadium. Like next year it's, you know, the AT&T Stadium, and I don't know that they want to go in there with the idea of trying to sell 80,000 tickets two straight nights. But it's the best for all concerned because a seven-hour show is, you know, it's almost inherently going to be bad, and two three-and-a-half-hour shows are far superior. You know, when I watched, I was at the first time they did that at the Tokyo Dome, and when it was over, it was like, this is so much better because the matches have time to breathe. You're not, you build these matches up for months, and then you rush through them, like 10-minute matches or something. Or sometimes with WWE, you'd have these guys do 6-minute matches at WrestleMania. And it's like, and you always feel bad for them. And now every match is going to have time. So I think it's superior. But I don't know. I don't think that they're going to be doing it going forward unless. But, you know, it's Vince. He can go in there and after these 2 days, if it's a big success, and go, you know what? Let's just keep doing it this way.
So we have a week, more than a week, of back-to-back-to-back WWE stuff. At what point, Dave, do you think we hit diminishing returns for WWE for the amount of content they're putting out and fan interest? Or does that even exist in this world of media?
Well, in this world of media, it doesn't matter because WWE's got everything guaranteed for years. So, but as far as are we doing too much to burn out the audience? Yes, we've been doing that for 10 years now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, we are getting diminishing returns. I mean, I think that's proven year after year, but it's also going to be what we do. I think this week, I think you can do this for a week once a year and, you know, yeah, everyone's going to be burned out, but it's WrestleMania week. It's kind of like, I mean, they don't really do it for Super Bowl week, but Super Bowl week for media hype, you know, just media bombarding you, you do have that. This is like content. I do think that, like, things like the Hall of Fame, I think way less people are going to watch the Hall of Fame just because there's too many other things. You know, but as far as the other shows, I mean, Raw after WrestleMania is not going against the NCAA Finals, so it'll probably do a good number. This week's Raw probably be down a little bit, but maybe not. I mean, it's the go-home Raw. The Wednesday, Thursday, you know, I think there'll be a lot of people. I think a lot of people are going to watch Wednesday, Thursday, you know, the NXT shows. And then Saturday, Sunday will be big. I don't know how much bigger it will be than last year. I think it's going to be bigger than last year because last year, it was a real tough thing when I look back on it as far as interest level. I think this year will be up from last year.
Well, one of the things that has sparked a ton of interest, at least from the hardcore fans, is Chris Jericho on Steve Austin's podcast, and this airing on Peacock and the WWE Network, which is Peacock and the International, blah, blah, blah. This totally came out of the blue for me. A lot of people are talking about the Forbidden Door. Is there anything to this, or is it just a one-off?
I mean, it's just a one-off. I mean, here's the thing is like, the only surprise, if it's a surprise, is Vince McMahon agreeing to it. And then I just look at the timing. You know, it's the right after WrestleMania, the Austin show right after WrestleMania. So that's the biggest show that he's going to do all year. And it's also the biggest non-pay-per-view show, as far as audience, that they're going to get all year. Because Austin is their number one draw on the network, aside from pay-per-views. And there's no way that they have anyone, you know, perhaps Vince, but Vince did it once, and it turned out. I think in hindsight, you know, the fact that Vince didn't do it again tells you something. And, you know, you remember the reaction to Vince was not good. So aside from Vince, I think Jericho is the biggest draw that they could put in there. But it is so unlike Vince to do that, and it's going to be very interesting. I'm very curious more how it's edited, and I think that other people are too. and that's why it'll probably draw well. But, you know, I mean, people are reading a lot into it, and they're, you know, in some cases, they're not necessarily wrong, I think. I think there was a year ago it couldn't have happened. I think that as far as Tony Khan, I think that he would have always approved it because, look, he let Billy Gunn go to the Hall of Fame with no qualms. It wasn't like even like with Ric Flair with TNA where, you know, they put up a fuss and, you know, they had to make a deal. You know, he didn't go in there and go, okay, well, if you put Billy Gunn in the Hall of Fame and he's in a contract to me, let's, you got to send Christian to us for a day, you know what I mean, or whatever you want. So, you know, he's just like that. I don't think that he's got a different mentality than people in wrestling before, whether that's good or bad. You know, you can argue it, and I've heard people argue both sides a lot in the last 2 days, but that's the situation.
The way that things used to work, let's say, up from 3 to 10 years ago, is that the Raw after WrestleMania got to the point where it was bigger than WrestleMania, and that was due to a lot of debuts that were taking place. Should fans even think to expect anything anymore out of that Raw? Because I do not get that feeling. That's faded away nowadays.
Well, if Karrion Kross loses to Balor, then I would presume he's going to debut.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, it's like who in NXT does it seem like? You know, Rhea Ripley was the one where you could see it coming. Karrion Kross, we know. I suppose Raquel Gonzalez could lose and then debut. But I'm kind of thinking that they may want to keep her down there for, you know, especially with Rhea Ripley just debuting, that they may want to save Raquel Gonzalez's debut for later. I mean, there's some other people who you could, but they haven't hyped. So, I mean, I'm sure it'll be a big show. It kind of has to be, but it won't be atmosphere-wise. Look, there's going to be no fans there. It's not going to be like, you know, before where you had all the European fans that just, like, made it like this really, you know, huge event. And, you know, Dolph Ziggler cashed in. Everybody remembers that, you know, thing that Vince didn't even want to do, but Pat Patterson talked him into it at the last minute. And they told the writing team, you know, like, remember now, we're not pushing him. This is just something that Pat's idea for tonight. That's it.
Yeah, and there was the Fandango stuff as well. Like, it was always a very magical event. But we'll see what happens.
I think that they will do something. You know, if not two things or so. But I don't know. Like big debuts. I don't feel a lot of big debuts coming because Cross is like the one that is obviously earmarked, and the rest of them I don't know.
How about Jericho? No, I'm kidding. Let's start those rumors, Dave.
That one it won't be. It won't be Jericho till 2023. So, you know, that's the deal.
Sasha and Bianca seem to be positioned very high up on the card. They're on night one. There's been some talk that I've heard about the potential of these two main eventing. Obviously, Vince goes back and forth on stuff like this. Do you feel, though, that this will be the main event on night one?
They're positioning it as, obviously Vince will make the decision probably late in the game, as he always does. But, you know, when I look at the advertising, they're always talking about that one on top of the Lashley and Drew McIntyre, and obviously be one of those two. But right now it feels like that's the one they're positioning for last, which I think isn't a bad thing at all. I think it's fine. I mean, if it was like before, you know, where it was a 7-hour show and they put those two on last, I think that would be a real bad thing.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's going to be a 3.5-hour show, and, you know, and the audience, I think, is going to be pretty hot both nights.
That's a good moment for Bianca as well. I'd assume that she wins the title there, and she's got the great story coming across from Royal Rumble with her victory speech. It makes for a nice storyline for the babyface on that show.
It's a superstar creation moment, and they're in the business of creating superstars, and it's not a business they've done well at, so hopefully they'll do better on it this time.
Now let's take a look at night two, because we talked about the happy go-home ending that they like for WrestleMania. Well, traditional wrestling logic would suggest that Daniel Bryan's actions on this past week's SmackDown means he's not winning at Mania. How do you send fans away happy on night two?
I don't read into the fact that Daniel Bryan laid everyone out, because last week Edge laid everybody out, and probably on Monday, I mean, on Friday, it'll end with Roman Reigns laying everybody out. So it'll just be even. But any one of them can win, but the long-term idea, you know, I mean, Daniel Bryan could get a Kofi Kingston type run. I mean, but Roman Reigns is the guy. I mean, the future direction for WrestleMania is Roman Reigns with Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns with The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they can get Roman Reigns and The Rock, that's far from a given, but that would be the one. But Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, I think, is a given at some point. So it's his title. But as far as who wins the match, you know, they could go any one of the three. There's no, you know, qualms about any of them. I mean, I would say Edge is the least likely of the three.
Right.
Roman, I certainly wouldn't be surprised. Bryan wouldn't shock me. I guess I would favor Roman Reigns right now, even though it would be untraditional. But, I mean, there's also the mentality that, well, you know, Roman Reigns is going to get cheered in the match, so it'll be okay. But maybe if he gets booed in the match, you know, it could be one of those things where Vince even goes in there and goes, you know what? We're going to play it by the crowd. If the crowd's all behind Roman Reigns, then we'll go with him. If they really want Daniel Bryan, we'll give him Daniel Bryan for a couple months. And maybe that's not even the worst idea. It's not like if they had long-term plans, you'd have to go in a certain direction. But they don't. They go week to week, so anything's possible.
All right, Dave, before we go here, looking at the two nights or even TakeOver as well, what is the show stealer? Like, what would you predict to be the show stealer of the week, the match that people are going to come out of it talking about, wow, can't believe that we got to see that?
Wow. I do think Reigns, Daniel Bryan, and Edge is going to be really good. I think Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly is maybe the match I'm most looking forward to. Ciampa and Walter would be really good.
Interesting, yeah.
I mean, Seth Rollins and Cesaro is a great match on paper. Kushida and Pete Dunne's a great match on paper. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, you know, they've been wrestling each other since they were kids, and this is a big stage if they get time. You know, they can tear the house down.
I feel like you're looking forward to a lot, Dave.
I mean, look, it's four nights of guys that are only working once,
right.
And it's their big show of the year, and, you know, and there's a lot of talented guys there, and they're not, you know, on WrestleMania, you know, at least the key guys, the guys that they want to feature, are not going to be held back in any way, shape, or form. So, I mean, I expect four really strong shows and a lot of really great matches this week, actually.
Well, Dave, the guys are only working once, but you and I will be working all the time through this week. I wish you the best of luck covering this. I know it's going to be a very, very long week for you and Bryan.
This will be a tough week for sure, but and you know, there's always, you know, UFC on ABC on Saturday as well, and yeah, it's a big week.
Well, you'll be at it, of course, at WrestlingObserver.com, and we'll skip next week, but we'll recap the week after to take a look back. Thank you much, Dave. Look forward to chatting with you after we get through this, and sleep now, and because you won't be doing it this week.
Thanks. Okay, I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Sounds great. All right, that is it for Dave for this week, and be sure to check out all of his coverage at WrestlingObserver.com, all of our coverage at SNMEradio.com. When we come back, Turnbuckle Trivia, the second of the semifinals. We will figure out who Jay's opponent will be. We'll do that next before we check in with Boris and Matt from NXT Talk as we continue on right here on Sunday night's main event.
Now I lay me down not to sleep.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there, and they stay there, and they stay there.
Turnbuckle Trivia time once again tonight on Sunday night's main event. It is our second, our final of the semifinals, dare I say it. And in this one, oh my goodness, there is a story to be told because we have the number one seed, Scott from Connecticut, walking into this game. Scott, you've just demolished everyone so far. Do you feel confident, though? Because I suspect you know who your opponent is in this.
You know, I feel confident, but I'm always a little nervous. You know, anything can happen. So I'm just excited to be here and ready to have some fun.
I think anything can happen is pretty much the name of the game for your opponent. So Matt is your opponent. Matt, I mean, I got to say, we've been doing this, I think, for 3 years now. Never have I seen someone tear apart the leaderboard like you have. You've taken out a champion, Ken from Toronto. You've taken out the most feared man in the tournament, who is Paul from the UK, who is desiring to play Scott because he had his sights set on him. But you've done great so far. This is a totally different game. How do you feel about this?
I would have to echo Scott's sentiments. I'm nervous a little bit, but feeling excited to do it and excited to have some fun here as well. Let's see how it goes.
All right, guys, here we go. Well, listen, as you know, it's fair as fair can be. It's Name That Tune is what we're playing. Name That Wrestler theme. It is from any company, from any era. I did keep things as even as possible. Everybody listening has already heard the rules in the first game on tonight's show. I've explained it to you off air. So with that in mind, let's get into it. Scott, your player one, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here is your first theme. I will play it again for
wow.
you. I will play it again for you, Scott. Here we go. Ooh. All right, Scott, for 2 points, please name for me that theme.
I'm going to guess, and I'm going to say Jackie Gaida.
Jackie Gaida or Gaida is incorrect. No point there. That means, Matt, you have the chance for a steal here. Do you have a steal?
Oof. I'll guess to Ivory.
It is not Ivory. The correct answer there was Dawn Marie. Dawn Marie for your first one. All right. So no points there. The next one goes over to Matt. Here is your 5-second clue. Do you need it again?
Is that TNA, Tessin Albert, Trish Stratus?
It is not. And you opted not to hear it again. I will throw it out there a second time before Scott goes for the steal. All right, Scott, your steal on that.
I'm going to say Molly Holly.
And that gets you a point. Congratulations, ooh, Scott. You are on the board, Molly Holly. I thought someone might get that, considering she is going into the Hall of Fame, and we've heard it on TV. She's had many themes. I think that was her final one. All right, we go back to Scott for your second clue. Remember, this one is only 4 seconds, and we keep going down as you go through. But, Scott, listen up. And again. Scott, your guess.
It's a guess. I'm going to go Nails.
It is not Nails. Matt, for the steal.
Vader.
That's correct, Matt.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness. Vader's WCW theme.
Yep.
I'm shocked anybody got that. How did you know?
WWE 2K video games.
Wow. I never even thought of that as a factor.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, congratulations on that obscure track. Mm-hmm. It's 1-1 right now, and here is your second clue. You are, here you go, Matt. 4 seconds. And I'll give it to you again.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Matt. Oh,
man, I'm totally guessing again. Billy Kidman. I don't know. I'm throwing total guess out there.
It is not Billy Kidman.
No.
Scott, you have a chance for a steal for a point.
I believe that's Dana Brooke.
That is Dana Brooke. And Scott with the steal for his second point. It's 2-1 right now. Everyone getting these on steals so far. All right, here we go. We move to the third clue for you, Scott, and it is for 2 points, 3 seconds of... And again. Your guess, Scott.
Lord Tensai. I don't know.
It is not Lord Tensai, though we got a real focus on Albert here. All right. Matt, over to you for your guess on this.
Oh, man, these are tough. Ultimo Dragon?
It is not Ultimo Dragon. Guys, believe it or not, that is a current WWE superstar. That is Billy Kay's new theme. Yeah, I used Peyton in the first game and used Billy in this game. Okay, 3 seconds coming up now. Here we go. This one is for you, Matt. And I'll give it to you again. Matt, 2 points for you.
Oh, man. I have no idea. Bobby Eaton.
It's not Bobby Eaton. All right.
This sounds like old WCW music. I don't know.
Okay, Scott for the steal.
These are tough. I mean, I'm just going to try to guess the error that I'm thinking it sounds like. I'm going to say Red Rooster.
It's not Red Rooster. Matt, you know what? You were right for actually old WCW. That is Ron Simmons's old theme from WCW. And when you talked about the video game, I was like, oh my goodness, I wonder if he's going to get his Ron Simmons. But you did not. So we move along to the two-second clue that now goes to Scott. They only get harder, guys. It's 2-1 right now for Scott. There's two questions left each. Scott, listen up. 2 seconds of glory with this. And again. Scott, your guess.
Let's go with Kurgan.
It is not Kurgan. So, Matt, I throw this to you now for the steal.
CM Punk?
It is not CM Punk. Oh. Gentlemen, that is the theme for The Ascension. Remember them?
Oh, yeah.
The Ascension. All right, this goes to Matt. Matt, 2 points on the line with your two-second clue. And here it is. And again. Guess not.
Cody Rhodes.
It's not Cody Rhodes. So, Scott, for the steal, 1 point available for your guess.
So, I'm going to go Authors of Pain.
Congratulations for the steal and the third point. So, it's 3-1. Now, Matt, you're not out of it as of yet. Scott, though, this could be the nail in the coffin. You have 1 second to name this particular theme. And it's 2 points, which takes Matt out. Here it is. Once again. All right, Scott, that 1 second, it could be the win. Who is it?
I'm pretty sure that's the man from Kona, Hawaii. That would be Crush.
Congratulations, Scott. You have done it. You crushed the competition. That is the win. Matt, I'm sorry, but your Cinderella story has come to an end. Appropriately enough, I guess, with Crush. Congratulations, Matt. You had one hell of a run, and I hope to see you back next year.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, thanks very much.
Scott, you came in, and you called yourself the favorite, and so far you're looking like that. You will face Jay from North Bay for the 2021 Turnbuckle Trivia Championship, and the winner from that goes on to play Bob from Scranton. You feeling good about this, Scott? Because Matt's a tough one.
Well, that category was tough, so I guess I got to put my big boy trivia hat on, I guess. But I look forward to it. And Matt, you're a hell of a competitor, man. That was something.
Appreciate it, Scotty. Take care. Good. Best of luck in the next round, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right, and there you have it. The finals are set in place. Jay from North Bay, Scott from Connecticut. We will see it all go down, and we will play that for you on the after party next week. So it'll be after WrestleMania Saturday night. We will do this and we will play it for all of our patrons. Then it'll be on the podcast as well. And then Sunday night, we will play out our two champs in the after party. And that'll be either Scott or Jay versus the current reigning champion, Bob from Scranton. That is all to come in our big competition of WrestleMania weekend, the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament. Gotta take a break. When we come back, let's talk NXT, shall we? NXT Stand and Deliver. Two events happening this week. We talk about it next with Boris and Matthew from NXT Talk. All of that to come right here on Sunday night's main event. You're the best around.
nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best.
I'm Boris Aguilar.
And I'm Matt Ederer.
Together, we're the Young Guns.
I would like to acknowledge the fact that we are in our 30s.
Anyways, as winners of the Sunday Night's Main Event Patreon Podcast Contest, we now have a weekly show.
That show is called NXT Talk, where we talk about NXT.
The show drops every Thursday, and the only way you can listen is if you're a patron. So if you aren't, you can sign up at patreon.com/SNME Radio.
And remember, we're the Young Guns.
And the show is NXT Talk.
Don't you fall. God's sake, don't go and do something foolish.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. You know, we've talked about it on this show over and over, but what a big week it is for wrestling. In particular for WWE, it's gone from a day to a weekend to a week. I've said it three or four times on the show already. Well, these two gentlemen that are now on the line with me or on the Zoom with me, Boris and Matt, they call themselves the Young Guns. They're doing all of our NXT coverage, and it is a big week. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, excited and honored to be here. Thank you very much.
So let's talk about what has happened. And first of all, NXT, I think it's a bit of a surprise, at least to me, when the announcement came about that they were going to do two nights here, because it is still a bit of a limited roster. They're only doing 2 hours a night, but all of a sudden they're going to be delivering, I'd say, minimum 4 hours here in these two nights. Boris, do you think it's a good idea to divide this over two nights?
Yeah, I do overall. So, you know, when you look at the actual schedule, it makes sense why they're doing tonight. Because we would have NXT TV on Wednesday, which would be your normal go-home show. And then the very next day, you have a pay-per-view. So I guess someone up the chain decided, you know what? Let's just do the go-home show the week before, do the Wednesday show a little more special, get a little more oomph and eyes on it. And then on Thursday, we're going to really bring it and have, you know, your bigger matches per se.
The difference, though, here, Matt, is that a go-home show would push towards the matches you're going to see for the pay-per-view. With this, we're getting two separate cards, aside from the one link with the six-man gauntlet eliminator match. Other than that, this is completely separate. Do you think these two cards are strong enough to sustain themselves and keep fans happy both nights?
Oh, absolutely. I really do. And I think it's ironic, but the first night is actually stronger on paper, I believe, than the second, although the second has the big men's title match. I think if you just look at the names on the two different cards, I much prefer the first show. I think it's going to be really, really good. And it's a good parting shot for the Wednesday Night Wars, too.
So let's look at that first night. And I mean, Matt, you said you preferred it. This one is being main evented with Io Shirai and Raquel Gonzalez. The big question has been with this match is, do we have Raquel taking the title away? And then I think the secondary question after that is Io done with NXT? Matt, what do you think?
Well, it's so funny. We base our NXT predictions pretty much entirely on who we think is going up to the main roster and when. So, yeah, I do think it's time for Io to go up. And more so than that, I think Raquel Gonzalez has been pushed so strongly that it's almost a waste to beat her now. Like, Io does not need the rub that would come from beating Raquel.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And it's still weird. And Mark Andrade and I talk about this all the time, saying going up to the main roster, because it's a bit of a sideways move now. But there's still that stigma, I guess, against NXT or for NXT, depending on the way that you look at it. But I mean, I see Raquel getting this. I mean, she had the win at War Games. This is actually late to the game for her getting this push, because I imagined it to happen 2 months ago.
100%. We've talked about this on NXT Talk, where, you know, both this program and the men's championship program, they're about 3 months too late.
Yeah.
They've built up both these programs, and then they kind of disappeared to their own mini programs. So 100%, like, you know, Raquel Gonzalez, it did give them more time to keep building her up. She got that key win against Rhea Ripley back in January. So they were able to build her into the monster that she is now, and building off of that War Games pin. But now you're at the point where it's like that breaking point. And, you know, if Raquel Gonzalez loses, I do think that it will hurt her more in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, so also on this night is a match that I don't really care for because I think that Pete Dunne should have just had an NXT tag title around his waist. I don't like the fact that they're doing the triple threat tag match here, but they are going to crown new champions once again. NXT has told the story so many times of many champions having to leave the belts. What's your take, Matt, on who is walking out of this triple threat with the tag team championship on night one?
I think it's got to be the Grizzled Young Veterans. I think it's time to put this act over strongly. They've been giving them promo time on every single show, basically. The Grizzled Young Veterans cut a promo either backstage or on their way to the ring. I think they're getting a pretty strong push, and MSK already won the Dusty Classic Tournament. They don't need the belts, too. They can be built as like the team chasing, the babyface team chasing. So I think it's got to go to the Grizzled Young Veterans.
It's funny you say that because my thought is MSK, considering that they're the ones who did win the Dusty Classic, and seem like they're a bit of an uncrowned champion here, Boris.
Yeah, so I'm going to side with Matt on this one, that I feel like, you know, that they can build a very strong program out of this, and the chase would be better than having the faces win, and then they're going to move on. Because, you know, this would be kind of their second match, even though there is a third team in this match. This will be the second match that the Grizzled Young Veterans will take, and then you can have your rubber match down the road.
Well, I guess we can all agree it won't be Legado del Fantasma, so let's all expect it to be Legado del Fantasma with the titles as NXT looks more and more like WWE main roster every day. Now, one of the matches that is also on this first night, and Walter. Walter is performing for the NXT UK United Kingdom Championship here. It's a singles match with Old Man Ciampa, the oldest wrestler who's actually younger than me on this roster. It's completely ridiculous how this guy looks. I like the fact that Walter has an aura around him. He's special. I think these two are going to beat the hell out of one another. But Matt, I cannot see Ciampa walking away with this title. It wouldn't. The only thing that makes sense about it is it gets him out of NXT and sends him over to the UK for a bit.
Yeah, for sure. But even in this, in the time we're in, like sending Tommaso Ciampa away from his family to go overseas, I don't know if he wants to do that or if that makes the most sense. I do agree that 99% it looks like Walter's going to win, possibly even with the involvement of Timothy Thatcher. He's still involved in this program. But yeah, one thing that does worry me slightly as a humongous Walter fan is that Walter is wrestling on the NXT UK show on Thursday afternoon before night two. So that might be a rehab match because I really don't see any point in Walter just defending the title again. But I do see a point in Walter getting rehabbed after a big loss. So I'm worried about that. So 99% of me thinks Walter's going to win. But 1%, that 1% there, it might be a rehab match. That gives me pause, Jason.
Boris, are you part of the 1%?
I'm part of the 1%. It's kind of weird, right? Like they're making him pull a Phil Collins where he does like this intercontinental match. You know, even though it's pre-taped, we don't know exactly what happened. Like they could have easily told him, don't take out your belt and you're going to like basically murder this guy. So, you know, I do believe there is the small possibility that it will be a rehab match. But if it's not, sure, why not? You know, it just goes to show you where NXT UK is in the pedestal.
Sorry, a Phil Collins? What?
That's Phil Collins.
Okay, give me. I mean, I'm a music guy, and I'm going through my head of all the possible song titles here, and I can't figure it out. What is this?
Live Aid, when he performed in the UK and then in Philly that same day.
All right. Okay, I got you now. I was like, is this a song? Is it in the air tonight? Is it Susu Studio?
No.
Do I have to keep going? Let's talk about the way that these things are connected. And that is on night one, you got the 6-man gauntlet match to determine the number one contender for the NXT North American Championship. Leon Ruff, Isaiah Swerve Scott, Bronson Reed, Cameron Grimes, Dexter Lumis, and L.A. Knight. I'll tell you one person that I'm going to rule out, and it's that last one. But other than that, Boris, we'll start with you on this. Do they continue on with Dexter Lumis here, I think, is the really big question.
I think it would be the ultimate WWE swerve if it's not Dexter Lumis. Like, they've built up this program with the way for how many months, and you have this match where Dexter Lumis kind of, you know, he didn't win the Battle Royal, but that's okay. He'll come back. He'll be, you know, the second to last person in this match. And it'll basically be an easy path to Johnny Gargano, continue the program that they've been building up for so many months.
Is it going to be Loomis, Matt, or is there another option here?
I sure hope not, Jason. I'll tell you, because I think Loomis might be my least favorite wrestler on the NXT roster, just in terms of in-ring work. And yeah, I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. I'm sure, in fact, that you might feel
that way. I do, Matt. You've listened to me. You know how I feel about this guy. I don't understand why you're a character that doesn't get over in one organization. You come to another one, you do the same character. It doesn't make sense to me. So I'm on your side here, yeah.
I don't even mind the character so much. I have no idea why he's still a babyface, but that's neither here nor there. No, I think this is a prime little spot for Cameron Grimes, for somebody to sneak in, right? This is perhaps the reason why they're doing this match in this way and not just giving it to Loomis is so that someone else can sneak in. And if that happens, oh, I'm hoping it's Cameron Grimes to the moon, baby. The most entertaining character in NXT, arguably all of WWE right now.
I mean, he's getting more so over with me, but I just don't see the possibility of Johnny Gargano and Cameron Grimes. That doesn't work. That is so much comedy in one match, and yeah, it's funny on top of funny, and that doesn't work. One person's funny, one's not. That can work. It's too much comedy, especially considering there's a North American Championship up for grabs here as well. So I don't see that. Unfortunately, guys, I think Dexter is making his return, and I'm not talking about the TV show. All right, let's go over to night number two. Now, the big work rate match of that night is Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. It's an unsanctioned match. Now, this has a little bit more to it coming after what we've seen done in AEW with their unsanctioned matches. These guys are going to have a lot to live up to, and I think it's even going to be more difficult for them, Boris, because they're not main eventing this card. So what can you do lower on the card that isn't going to take away from your main event but can still try to outdo the world of AEW? They're in tough.
They are 100%, but it's being tagged as the co-main event. So I feel like they're kind of opening it up where they'll give them the floor and they can go balls to the wall, and we're going to see an absolutely insane match.
Matt, I mean, what do you do here? How hardcore does this get? Or are these two guys, who are both known for their work rate, are they just left alone and left to have a great match in the ring?
Well, I think it's going to be a little bit of both. And it's funny that you mentioned AEW's unsanctioned matches, because Britt Baker, who is Adam Cole's girlfriend,
just yes,
arguably the greatest one in company history, against Thunder Rosa. And NXT has also done unsanctioned matches that have been crazy, too. Tommaso and Johnny Gargano, I believe, had an insane one.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot to live up to. Having said that, the build for this match specifically has been off the charts great. The video last week, the event center that they played, that they've now blown out into a full special, which I haven't seen yet, but I can't wait to see. The build for this has been amazing and has been worthy of this main event slot. So I almost hope they change their minds and put this on last. It deserves it.
I don't think it will. I definitely think that they're going to go with the championship on last, and that's where the championship should go. Before we get there, though, let's talk about another championship, and that's the ladder match that came about by Shawn Michaels walking down to the ring for no reason, with no lead-up, to put a ladder into the ring for Jordan Devlin and Santos Escobar. Santos Escobar, fresh off a loss and a destruction by Karrion Kross. This has potential to be a good match, but the build here is pretty much the anti-Colin O'Reilly, which has had the great build. I am not really interested in this, Boris, aside from Devlin getting unifying both titles.
Right, so I'm going to have to disagree with you on everything you just
really
said. I believe the build between Escobar and Devlin has been okay. Like, this is the first time I actually care about a cruiserweight title match since WCW days. Like, I'm not even counting the times that WWE had the cruiserweight title. I'm talking about strictly WCW. I think this is the match I'm actually looking forward to the most in this with this belt. Having said that, I do think that the whole Shawn Michaels thing was kind of weird, but people see Shawn Michaels as Triple H's buddy, also an authority figure. So it's kind of made sense in that sense. And it was the rub of look, we did this in at WrestleMania 10, and I'm just going to throw in the ladder. You guys know what's up.
That's so random. That is so random, Boris.
But it's random, but that's the way WWE thinks. Like, this is the way that they book stuff. So in that sense, it is what it is. But the actual match itself is going to be insane. I do actually care about this match in the sense that, you know, it's been how many years since anyone's really cared about a Cruiserweight title match in a main card show. So I think these two are going to have a fine match, and I do see Santos Escobar going over.
Oh, you do? Okay. So, all right, you're the tiebreaker, Matt, here. Devlin or Escobar, who's uniting these titles?
I'm thinking it's Devlin, and I prefer the work of Escobar. I think he's a really good promo, too. Santos Escobar is becoming quite the entertaining character, but I think it's Devlin. I think Devlin needs to be established, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Santos moving up and perhaps filling the hole that Andrade has left on the main roster.
You know what? That's actually not a bad idea, but let's face it, if he goes up, he'll probably be more like Angel Garza or Humberto Carrillo. Which is what Andrade was, let's be honest here. All right, guys, let's cap things off. We don't need to talk about Moon and Shotzi. Let's cap things off with Finn Balor and Karrion Kross, and there are reasons for both of these performers to win this championship. We've talked about it on this show a few times already, so let's get your perspective on who you think is winning here, because Karrion Kross has been brought in and designed for the main roster, but was also supposed to have an NXT championship run. So where does this lie, Boris?
I believe that this is Karrion Kross's last match in NXT. I believe that Finn Balor is going to go over for the simple fact that Karrion Kross is a main roster character. He's a main roster wrestler. He already wrestles like he's in the main roster. So I think that this is just his swan song, and it's going to give Finn Balor a huge victory and give him the momentum leaving TakeOver, and Karrion Kross can do what he does best in the main roster.
I mean, I was kind of thinking Karrion Kross and Drew McIntyre is going to be a program shortly. Matt, what do you think?
I can definitely see that. Yeah, so Finn Balor, it seems like he's retiring in the black and yellow brand on NXT, right? It doesn't seem like he's going back up. It doesn't seem like Vince has any designs on pushing him hard the way he deserves to be pushed. He's a really great top of the card main event talent, and he's doing that for NXT. So yeah, Karrion Kross eventually will be in WWE. If they really, really wanted to give him a long title run, they could do it, but he's already won this belt and had to vacate it to injury. I think Karrion Kross, correct me if I'm wrong here, Boris or Jason, but I think he's still undefeated, right?
Well, he just had to give away the title, so he didn't lose it there. So maybe, yeah. I mean, it's tough to figure out when I fast forward through his matches, because his entrance is the best part.
It definitely is. Definitely is. Although, yeah, he's improving. You know, he's all right. But yeah, I agree with that. I think one loss in his entire NXT career wouldn't hurt him. I got to agree with Boris. I think Finn Balor's taking this one, and Karrion Kross is going to be challenging for the world title, the WWE title, very soon.
All right, guys. Well, listen, you've got Wednesday night and you've got Thursday night. Looking forward to both of your podcasts and all of your coverage this week. Thanks for hanging out for this time on the Sunday show.
Thanks for having us again.
Yeah, thank you, man. Lots of fun.
And I want to thank all of you out there as well for listening. We have got to say good night and goodbye for this week. But believe me, there are lots of podcasts coming. There's lots of coverage coming for this week. WrestleMania week is happening, and we have got you covered. Visit patreon.com/SNMEradio to sign up for the audio feed. It's only $1 a week. And along with that, follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram @SNMEradio. We will talk to you again next week on wherever you're listening to this. We will be back. TSN Radio, the iHeart Radio Talk Network. Don't you dare miss it. That does it for this week's free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. I thank you all for listening. Do keep in mind, there is a version of this show that is commercial-free and is posted on Sunday afternoons. And it's available at patreon.com/SNMEradio. It's only $1 a week. You get this show, as I mentioned, commercial-free and extended. You also get the midweek markout that I do with Mark Andrada. You get All Elite Weekly with Dan Lavransky and Joe Aguinaldo. And you get all of the episodes of our new patron pod contest as well. So we've talked about all those things on the show. Now become a part of those things by signing up for $1 a week at patreon.com/SNME Radio.